It's lovely to be with you all. My name is Dan, called Dan Toko Ingoa. And if you are new here, it is so lovely to have you at Central Vineyard. As Strawn already said, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad that you've made it along this morning. Even if you're just visiting, it's so nice to have you with us and gathering with us. We love gathering together. And so it's cool to have you here with us. We are going to be doing, as you may already know and have picked up on from what Strawn's been saying this morning, we are tracking towards Christmas with intentionality this year. We're tracking towards Christmas with by being thoughtful about it and giving it the best shot that we can. And the way that the church has done this for so long has been called Advent, a season of Advent. It is a season of making room for Christ, that Christ may become richer in us as we track towards the big day, Christmas Day. And it is about not just about this sort of idea of Christ, like the kind of nice Christmas card image that a lot of us have. Who got their trees up yesterday? Any trees? Yes. Well done. Well done. One of the things that we do in our house is that Gab has this beautiful little Advent set, this nativity scene that we set up. And it is just, I was putting it together yesterday. I was looking at all of the characters. I was looking at all of the different people that were involved in this story. And I was just thinking, oh my goodness, this is just such a rich story. There's so many layers to the story. There's so many characters to the story. There's so much going on in the story. There is a context to the story that makes the story so rich. And how can we get the most out of this moment? Well, the church would say Advent. So today, as you already know, we have started lighting our Advent candles. Each week we have a creative element. We have a person who is bringing a piece of poetry to our gathering. So next week we're going to have another one. We've got something visual that's going on with it each week as well. So we've really tried to stack into how do we look at each of these facets well. So I want to just say welcome to Advent. We have started today and we're on our way. So how do you feel? Christmas is in the air. Are we okay? We're all right? We're a little quiet. We're a little good, well-behaved at the moment. Welcome to Advent. Now, the cultural story of Christmas is that Christmas is for the good boys and the good little girls, correct? Most of us would think as we've grown up that Christmas is the story of the Santa Claus and a Santa Claus who has a list of those who have been good, those who deserve it, those who have earned it, those who have done the right things all year long, so therefore they deserve to get what's coming, presents, treats, good things. But this week, as we reflect on hope, what we must realize is that that is not actually the Advent story. The Advent story is that Christmas arrived amongst the hopeless. Christmas didn't arrive for those who were on a list of good boys, good girls, good people. Christmas arrived in the midst of suffering. Christmas arrived in the midst of lack. Christmas arrived in a hopeless space. Christmas arrived in absence. We've been focusing a little bit on that this morning, haven't we? And maybe it's a little uncomfortable to do so. But this is the beauty of Advent. Advent allows us to pull up a facet of the story and to have a good look around and to let it really impact us. And this morning, as we talk about hope, the hope candle, for us to get a decent idea of hope, for us to really grasp what hope is, we need to talk about the antithesis of hope. We need to talk about the lack of hope, the removal of hope. We need to talk about absence for a little while. And so what is absence? Well, just a pure dictionary meaning, absence is the state of being away from a place or person. Absence is the non-existence or the lack of. And in a thesaurus, some of the words that came up were it's lack, exclusion, suffer, deficiency, drought, poverty. Lack, exclusion, suffering, deficiency, drought, poverty. Not necessarily words we would quickly associate with Christmas, right? You don't hear Michael Bublé kind of banging on, you know, top 10 hits with those titles. So how have we seen absence this year? How has culture shown us what absence looks like? How have we engaged with absence this year? What would be some examples? Well, for example, number one would be we are a world which is currently sitting in a refugee crisis. Why do we have refugees? We have refugees because in the land that they live in, the home that they have, it is lacking the basic things that they need. It is lacking peace. It is a place of poverty due to war. It is a place where there is suffering due to power not being used correctly. Due to these things, people are packing up and leaving and going to find a place which doesn't have those things. They are leaving to try and find a place where they hope might have the things that they are lacking, the things that they need. They pack up, they leave, they go in hope of a place that is going to meet the needs which they cannot have in their homes. Another absence that's in our world at the moment is the current mental health crisis that we have. A total epidemic of lack, of suffering, where we can't even have our minds the way they're meant to be. We've got statistics at the moment of divorce rates, marriages that are loveless, marriages that are breaking down, a lack of love, a depravity of what it is to be together and to be safe and to care for one another. These are some of the ways in which absence is sitting in our culture right now. You might have a story like this. You might know someone with stories like this. How have you experienced absence this year? Think about it, please. Don't screensaver on me. Think about it. We will never glimpse the beauty of hope if we can't engage in that question. How have you experienced absence this year? What have you lacked? How have you suffered? How have you gone without? How have you experienced hopelessness? In the story of the scriptures, we have the story of a people of God called Israel. People of God had a pretty sweet time when this king called David was in charge. Things were looking really good. David got things looking really good. He had things running smoothly. They were doing what they were meant to do with God. They were doing what they were meant to do as a country. They were blessed to be a blessing. Things were looking really sweet. And then if you read the rest of the story of Israel, the wheels start to get wobbly and it starts to fall off because the people of God, instead of becoming the ones who were blessed to be a blessing, they become the ones who have power. And they start to do exactly what had been done to them. They start to become the powerful ones with slaves and people who make their machine work. The people of God were no longer being the blessed to be a blessing people. They were just blessed and then they were showing their power. And so the people of God started to actually reap the benefit of that misbehavior. And God started to warn them through the prophets saying, this is not how you are meant to be behaving. You are not meant to behave in such a way. But they would not listen. And eventually what happened is that in 700 BC, another more powerful empire called Babylon came along and exiled them and enslaved them and took them out. They ruined their temple. They destroyed their things of power. And they moved them to another land to be slaves. They took them away. So in 700 BC, the people of God are taken out of their land again. And they're taken to be enslaved to another kingdom. And while they're there, God speaks through his prophets and he starts telling them, and you can read it like in Jeremiah, for example, he lets them know you're here because of your own rebellion. You're here because of your own silliness. You're here because you are doing the things I told you not to do. But God doesn't leave them sitting in that, and he doesn't leave them just wallowing in that. No, God gives them something to look forward to. And in Jeremiah, we have these words here. The day will come, says the Lord, when I will do for Israel and Judah all the good things I have promised them. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. In that day, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this will be its name, the Lord is our righteousness. Or maybe the prophet Isaiah who said this, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And this spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and he will make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. Oh, is that going? And he will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. In that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. So in the midst of this absent place, in the midst of being enslaved in Babylon, God speaks to the people of Israel and says, something is coming. Something is coming. It is coming from what you know. It's coming from where we've been, and it's going to shoot up, and it's going to be something beautiful and new, and it's going to do everything I said that it would. Now, in 400 BC, skip a few more years ahead, they get to return back to their land. They get to return and build the walls and build Jerusalem. And they are there, they are returned, but they are not yet the people that they used to be still when David was around. Because although they're not enslaved anymore, they're not the ones who are ruling. They're not the ones in charge. They're now bowing the knee to another empire yet again. And prophets rise up again, and prophets keep speaking, and prophets keep speaking. God keeps speaking through the prophets. And the last book of the Old Testament, the last prophet to speak, is Malachi. And in the last chapter of his book, we again get the same theme as Jeremiah and Isaiah. I'm sending. It's coming. It's look forward to it. It's going to happen. And then it goes completely silent for 400 years. Boom. For 400 years, Israel's God is absent. 400 years, the line goes dead. No reply, no words. If you were living in that time, you've got some options. The options are, do I leave and go, or do I stay and wait? Do I leave and go? Do I just go? This is not going to work, so we're going to go somewhere else. Or do I stay and wait? Do I stay and wait on what God has said? Do I wait for what he said would happen? Do I wait for what he promised? Do I wait faithfully, expecting that what he said will come, will come? When we find ourselves in absent times that I just reminded you of about 5 or 10 minutes ago, when you are sitting there in those absent moments, when you are thinking of those things of this year, those things you might be sitting in right now, I bet there's two options that are going through your mind. Do I run and leave? Or do I faithfully wait? I don't know what your option was. I don't know what you were thinking of. I don't know if it was relational. I don't know if it was situational. I don't know if it was health. I don't know what your absence was. But I'm pretty sure to bet that there was two options that you're thinking about. Do I just pack up and get out of here? Leave this thing behind? Or do I keep fighting and faithfully wait? Welcome to what it is to be a person of hope. Welcome to what it is to be a person of hope. We love to use the word hope in such a sort of Hallmark greeting card way, don't we? You know, I hope this happens for you. Like a fingers crossed, I wish this happens for you kind of way. But hope is far more gutsy than that. Because here we see in the story of Advent that hope was this nation waiting for the things that God said he was going to do. In the midst of a complete silent period, in the midst of a complete line is dead, nothing is happening, they waited. They waited. They waited. In the midst of their absent God, they faithfully held on to what he said he was going to do. That's what hope is. That's what it feels like to be hopeful. And so Advent is the arrival and the coming of Jesus. And it's a journey that we are taking for the next 4 weeks leading up to Sunday the 23rd. It's a journey that takes us through these stages that we might get to this Christ candle and have a greater glimpse with clarity of what Christ is and who Christ is and what he does. But if we don't journey through these well, we're going to get there and we're going to miss the point. So let's not race ahead too quickly. I want to ask you to do something this morning that's going to require a little bit of bravery. It's going to require a little bit of thought. I want to ask you to treat this moment today like a cliffhanger at the end of a TV show that you're loving. You know those moments when they're writing the series and it's kind of like got to like episode 9 and suddenly they just leave you on that moment. Now, annoyingly, with Netflix now, you can just watch the next episode, right? But in the old days, when you had to wait a week, like, will Ross and Rachel get together? Who knows, you know? It's a week of cliffhanger. What I want to ask you to do is, if you've been following Jesus a long time, if you've been with God a long time, if you know how the story goes, can you do me a favor? Can you please, to the best of your ability, can you please try and remove the hindsight of what you know? Can you try and go, okay, yeah, and it's all good because Jesus shows up. Can you just scratch that out for a bit? Remove that for a few weeks and allow yourself to sit in the situation and the context of the people of the story of Advent. The people of Advent are refugees. The people of Advent are outcasts. The people of Advent are those on the peripheral and the fringe. The people of Advent are not superstars. They are a minority. We have to sit in that for a little bit. And we have to realize that they were people of hope, hoping for the Messiah, hoping for what God had said he was going to do, hoping that he would pull through on what he promised. And so what does it mean for us to do that this Advent? What does hope mean for us today? What would it look like for you to push away this thing of Christ for a bit, wait for it for a few weeks, let it be over there, and just sit here at this moment with this candle, with this prompt? I have three little things that I want to ask you to consider. Firstly, hope changes the way the whole story starts. It changes it from being the people who have it all together, and it changes it for those who are the hopeless. If we were to sit with hope for a moment and we were to think about it and consider it prayerfully, we would realize, oh my goodness, God's not for all of those people that are on the good list. He's not delivering something to them because they deserved it. He entered into the suffering, into the exiled, into the enslaved, into those who were the downtrodden. He entered into the lowest places of humanity. He emptied himself of glory. Not just showed up like a good present. He entered into those who were the hopeless. Part two. Hope beckons us to confess that things are not as they should be. We are allowed to name the things that we find absence. We're allowed to name our suffering, our lack, and our deficiency. Now, for the last couple of years here at Central Vineyard, we've been issuing a call to honest prayer. We've been saying, if you read the Psalms, and you really read the Psalms, you're going to find a glimpse of what it is to be human before God. And most of us are really uncomfortable about what we find. Most of us are really uncomfortable about the language being used as we read these Psalms, because we're uncomfortable with the honesty. But people who sit with hope, they know that to be honest is just part of that process of waiting. And waiting well. And so I encourage you again, this Christmas, as we make room for Christ, as we make room for who he is going to be, we are allowed to sit with the questions we have, the absence we find, the lack that we discover in our lives. We are able to bring that to God. Oh my goodness, God wants us to see it and say it, name it, and give it to him. God wants us to confess it and push it across to his side of the table. God wants us to hand that over, to give him the chains that we find in our hands, to give him the weight we find on our shoulders. God wants us to do that. But the process is that we have to be honest and we have to look around well. And so to be a person of hope means that we have the permission to name those things. It's not a lack of faith to do so. It's actually part of being a faithful person who is waiting well. Does that make sense? And number three, faithfully wait, for he is coming. I love this psalm where it says this, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. A songwriter took that psalm and they rewrote it into this. Some of you might know this. It's from Bethel Music. Christine DeMarco, she sings this, take courage, my heart, stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. And hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. as we wait for a few more weeks for Christ, as we look at these facets of the Advent story, we are invited to sit with the psalmist, to sit with the songwriter and have the same posture, to pray the same prayer. Heart, take courage. Soul, be steadfast. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. And so, because it's a cliffhanger, because we're waiting for a few more weeks, I want to offer a benediction to you as we go today. The Advent benediction today is, may the living God of old and new, may he give you grace to see your absence and your need and to recognize salvation when it comes. May you be honest and confess and bravely wait with hope and remain faithful for what is to come. May the God who interrupted Israel, who interrupted human history, may he interrupt you. May you go with grace and peace. May you go as light into a city that needs lighting. May you go into the hopeless places as the one who is carrying a piece of the kingdom of God in you today. God bless you. We have lit the hope candle. So now we go as the hopeful ones into our cities. Have a wonderful Sunday. Have a wonderful week. And we will come back next week and get you off the edge of that cliff. All right. God bless you.